You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You've likely heard their names, but do you know the whole story? The true story? Do you know there was a fourth man in that fiery furnace? Who was he? Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz. We're in Daniel chapter 3, verse 3. But first, here's an introduction from our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, last time we concluded our study of that great image that Daniel saw. And it was the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. He first saw it, and Daniel probably dreamed the same dream and then was able to interpret it to this man. It's an overview of world history, and it'll be back before us again when we get to the seventh chapter of Daniel in a different form, however, in the form of wild, ferocious, carnivorous beasts. But here we have seen a tremendous picture that spans all of the times of the Gentiles. We're living in that today. Now, I have said repeatedly that the church has been given no signs whatsoever. It's been given a sound. We are told that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. May I say to you, we're listening for a voice. We're not actually looking for signs. But definitely, we're living in the times of the Gentiles, and we're living at the time when the clay and the iron are being mixed together. And we're seeing today certain outward signs that make us believe that we are moving close to the end because of the setting of a stage. And I mentioned last time something that I considered very important. A philosophy has pervaded the world today, a philosophy that's rooted in evolution. Modern psychology is also moving us toward the day when we will have the appearance of this man of sin. Everything seems to be moving in that direction, but this psychology that's abroad, that's moving us toward that day, is the antithesis, actually, of God's psychology. And I'd like to share with you today an editorial that I wrote, and it's on the subject of Me Too. Let me read this. I have headed it with Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Paul placed great emphasis on the fact that a believer is a member of a body in which there are many members with varying degrees of function and performance. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now that's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12:12. The Christian is to function in the body as a member of the body. For the body is not one member, but many. Paul says in the 12th chapter, verse 14. This means that he or she is to function in unison with other members. The believer is to put others first as he functions as a member of the body. Paul says in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 3 and 4, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, again, the goal and purpose is not for the development and glorification of self, but for the growth and development of the body. And again, Paul says in Ephesians 4, at verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. This type of thinking and reasoning cuts across the grain of the popular philosophy of self-fulfillment propagated by Abraham Maslow and others. This ego-centered mentality penetrated the ranks of the evangelicals. Many seminars on marriage were conducted on the basis of this premise. This approach to marriage may explain the reason that divorce continues to escalate among us evangelicals. Dr. Amitai Elzeomni, in his new book, states that this ego-centered mentality is responsible for the erosion of the family, the schools, and even of the individual. During the 60s, this deadly philosophy entered the church. The individual must have freedom to express his ego needs of self-fulfillment, expressed in sensation and excitement. All of this is done at the expense of the home, the church, and society in general. This ego-centered mentality is destroying the harmony of the home and crippling the church. It also gives the individual an elusive view of self. It leads to pride and self-conceit. This is a Mad Hatter world we're living in today. And the great words of the past, like conviction and courage and commitment and virtue and discipline, have entirely slipped from our vocabulary.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to study your word together. Help us to hear your message and then apply what we learn. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Open to Daniel 3 as we go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we come back to the third chapter of the book of Daniel. And in this chapter, we see heathen pride is judged. This man Nebuchadnezzar made a very large image of gold. God had told him he was the head of gold, and he felt compelled by pride to move in this direction instead of being humbled by the fact God had elevated him. And so he makes this image that's about 90 feet tall, put it out on the plain of Dura, and called together all the leaders, all of his officers in his entire kingdom. And the dedication took place when all of these governors and captains and judges and treasurers and councils and the sheriff and all the rulers of the provinces, they came. Now I want to begin reading here at verse 3, for this is the dedication. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. You see, now the day of dedication had arrived, and all were present, though Daniel was absent. And we believe there's a good, legitimate reason. He was away on state business. He's now actually a man in a unique position of being the chief advisor of the emperor of Babylon, the man that's the world ruler now, the king of Babylon. And so at this dedication, the sight of this image of gold on the plain of Dura was very impressive. And it was as impressive, by the way, as an Atlas missile on a launching pad down in Florida. And it made a tremendous appeal to the eye. And now I'm reading at verse 4 now of chapter 3. Then a herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, all people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, this is the dedication service, and we talk today about freedom of worship. They knew nothing about it then. At the particular time when the orchestra is playing, and they had there, if you'll notice, this orchestra, and I'll say a word about it. And the fact of the matter is, there's no room here for spontaneous and personal religion. This is something that's all prearranged, and everybody's to go down on their face the minute that the orchestra sounds out. And if you'll notice the different instruments they had the sound of the cornet, that's a woodwind instrument, and a flute, that's a wind instrument, and a harp was a stringed instrument, and a sackbut was a trombone or a high-stringed instrument. It's difficult to tell. Psaltery was a stringed instrument like the harp, and the dulcimer was a drum with strings above and played with a stick. And then it says all kinds of music. And that indicates that all of the instruments and types of music are not really listed here, and that probably there was more in the orchestra. Well, I've given this orchestra a name. It's called the Babylonian Beboppers, or the Babylonian Beatles, or the Royal Rock Quartet Plus Two, or how many more instruments there was there. You can add to it just as much as you want to. And maybe we should call it the Chaldean Philharmonic Orchestra. I don't know, but be that as it may, this was more than a dedication. People were forced to worship. Although true worship is an expression of the heart, it cannot be forced. They went through the outward form. The appeal of the music was to the flesh. You see, music that's spiritual is a wonderful aid to worship. And believe me, in our churches today, that is in many of them, it's very difficult to tell the difference between spiritual music and worldly music. And Paul has a great deal to say about the importance of music for the believer in worship. He says in Ephesians 5:19, and by the way, this was for Spirit-filled believers, because after he gave the instruction, be filled with the Spirit, he says, now speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And in Colossians 3:16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. But you see, at the very beginning, music got off to a bad start. It was mentioned first in the godless line of Cain. And way back in Genesis 4:21, his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. That is in the genealogy of Cain. You see, when music or ritual appeals to the flesh, it degrades man rather than elevates him, and it's not an aid to true worship. Now, I've been a pastor for a long time. I have had music that lifted the service. It helped the minister, and it was spiritual, and it was a great blessing. But I have also been in a service when you have music that absolutely nullifies the spiritual worship. It cancels it out. It deadens everything. I remember quite a few years ago holding meetings back east in a certain place. And it was a very fine church, and right before I was to give the first message, Well, they called on a young lady to sing. Well, I never have seen such a showman as that girl was. And she didn't have much to show, by the way, as far as music was concerned. She couldn't sing too well. And she picked a song that had nothing to do, really, with worship, but gave her an opportunity to show off her voice, which, again, as I say, wasn't too much. And I never had such a deadening beginning of anything, so much so that after I said a few words of introduction, realizing how dead it was, I suggested we sing another hymn, and we did, and that helped out a little. And I suppose the people thought, my, this preacher that's coming here to preach, he certainly doesn't have very much to say or much for us. Well, I must confess that I might have been guilty, but the fact of the matter is, it's too bad that that girl was used to sing. I asked the preacher about it. In fact, he apologized to me about it, and he made it very clear that she was the daughter of one of his leading officers and that it was customary in that church to always let her open any new meeting by singing. And I've often thought since then, I wonder how many meetings that poor girl wrecked. May I say to you, music can be helpful or not. And the world of music has a tremendous influence on people today. And it's gotten into many services in our churches. Thank God there are many ministers standing against it today. Now, the thing here is that there's to be a terrible penalty if anyone here refused to worship. And this music, I'm sure, that helped to prepare them for worldly worship. And the fact of the matter is, you can be sure of one thing, that everybody in that crowd went down on their faces with the exception of three young men. Now let me continue to read at verse 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, this movement of dedication was an act of worship, and it was practically unanimous. There may have been many who were not convinced in their hearts, but they gave no visible evidence that they were contrary. They attempted to justify their positions, I'm sure, of compromise by some form of rationalizing. That's generally the way the people do today. Man was telling me that the reason that he continued in the church that he did, it's a liberal church, he's supposed to be sound. He said that his father had been a leader in that church, and that his father had been an outstanding layman. When he died, they had a stained glass window there dedicated to his father. And he felt like he couldn't leave the church. Well, anybody uses that kind of an excuse, that's rationalizing. And I would say that if it came down to a stained glass window, I'd tell them that I'd put them in another one and I'd take that one out, take it with me wherever I went. Because, friends, that's actually a very unfortunate reason. Now will you notice that we come now to the accusation against the three Hebrew children for failure to worship the image. Now there were three men there that apparently didn't bow. Verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now the king apparently had appointed observers to note any irregularities in the service. And the designated certain Chaldeans may indicate that they had been watching here, these three. And they may have been jealous, or they may have had some personal animosity toward them. The only Jews who were involved, of course, were the three Hebrew children, because they were among the officers of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Jews in captivity who had not any position of leadership, of course, they were not present at this meeting at all. Now will you notice, and I'm reading now verses 9 through 12. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Let me pause right there a minute. This is the third time we've been given a list of this orchestra. It must have been a very famous orchestra in that day. And that's the reason I call them the Babylonian Beatles. They were there playing this, you know, rock music, getting people ready for the worship of this image. And now they're mentioned to us again. Now we're told here, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fire furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You see, their accusation before the king was very formal, and according to protocol, they made a direct charge against the three Hebrew children by name. There's no misunderstanding as to whom they meant. Now, their charge was accurate. Their insinuation, these men, O king, have not regarded thee, that was absolutely false. Their refusal was not an act of disloyalty to the king personally. It was a recognition of a higher power. They were obedient to their God as is revealed by their answer. Now notice verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Notice what it says about Nebuchadnezzar, his rage and fury. Now, this man had a problem, and a real psychological problem, and we'll pick that up in the next chapter. But I call attention to this. It characterizes his form of insanity. He suffered from, as we shall see, hysteria. And it's a sort of a manic depressive psychosis. One moment they're hot with anger, and the next minute, while they're laughing their head off. Now we have here the declaration by the three Hebrew children of the power of their God in refusal to worship the image. And I'm going to read now verses 14 and 15. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, It is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? You see, Nebuchadnezzar asked them if the charge is true. Have they refused to worship his gods and the image which he set up? Verse 15, Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music. Here we go again. That was sure some famous orchestra. Ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now he gives them another opportunity to change their mind and fall down before the image. You see, their submission now would be a worse reproach than it would have been at the outset. He recites again the penalty for refusal, and he shows the fallacy of it. Now, the king has heard of their God before, and he assures them that he's unable to deliver them. Now, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Here we start out again with that expression. The thought here is, O king, live forever. But they left off that, and they said, we are not careful. Means that they have carefully weighed the consequences for refusing to obey the king. They've counted the cost, and they're not being careful in giving an answer about it. They have very carefully considered the cost. Now, the wise men in Babylon would have advised them to fall down and worship. But God had told them, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. And they're obeying God here. Well, what's going to be the outcome? Well, we're going to have to wait till next time, friends, to see what the outcome will be. And then we'll continue to move on in the book of Daniel. So until next time, may the Lord richly bless you, my beloved.
Once again, Dr. McGee leaves us on a cliffhanger, doesn't he? Meet me back here to find out what happens next. Until then, be in touch. Call 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org.
Jesus came home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole word to the whole world.
Hi, fishing enthusiast. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Once again, our radio ministers and preachers and all those out there in Radio Land, I pray for you this morning that the power of God will move in your life as a child of God. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners this morning. Father, once again, I pray that the Holy Spirit would touch the hearts of those that have tuned into the broadcast. And Lord, that you would give me divine unction and utterance of the Holy Spirit, that I will speak the word of God boldly to all that tune into the broadcast. I ask your blessings to be upon the hearers, even the doers, those that do not even trust in you. I pray for them this morning that the power of the Holy Spirit will reach their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we want to look at what the Word of God is saying today. And the subject that we will be expounding on is being in Christ. Being in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in a church building, not in some organization, but in Christ. And we want to look at what the Word of God says today. And if you have your Bible, or perhaps if you're near where you can have a pad and pen, I would pray that you would jot down these verses of Scripture there so that you can relate to them at a later time. Because the most important thing is being in Christ, not in some building or perhaps part of some organization, but in Christ. Now, the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is most important. And if you have your pen, underline that in Christ. If therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You see, we are new species. We are a new creation, and the Word of God tells us that if we are in Christ, we are a new creature, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Being in Christ is very vital and most important, because the only way we can get back home is being in Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So we must be in him in order to get back home. And I pray today that all out there in Radio Land, that if you want to get back home, you have to be in Christ, not in some building or organization. And I want to just reiterate that, because, first of all, a lot of folks are in churches, in local assemblies, but they are not in Christ. And the most important thing is to be in Christ. The Word of God tells us that this is a preposition that is used quite frequently and most important, because in Christ, through Christ, for Christ, and by Christ is all that we have. Praise God. So in Christ. So Paul was telling the church of Corinth there, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And God sees us as if we have never sinned. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? He sees us as if we never sinned because we are in Christ. Our spirit that once was dead has now been made alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into our spirit, glory to God, and brought forth regeneration, glory to God, hallelujah. And that made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Minister Glory, I would like for you to kind of, you know, we'll play tag team here this morning, glory to God, concerning in Christ, because the most important thing is to be in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, Apostle Paul was telling us when we are in Christ that we are what?
More than conquerors.
We are more than a conqueror.
That loved us. And that's Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
You see, everything is in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ, and for Christ. Glory to God. So Paul's telling you that he said, nay, in all these things, that we are more than a conqueror. We're not just conquerors. We are more than a conqueror, but it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through us or the ability that we have to try and conquer situations and circumstances. No, he says that if we are in Christ, glory to God, that we are more than conquerors through him. I said through him. Underline that word, through him. Praise God. Through him that loved us. Jesus loved us. Glory to God. And I want to tell you today that when we continue to look at these prepositions and see exactly what transpired concerning being in Christ, most important, praise God, that we have what Jesus has afforded for us all through and by what took place there on that old rugged cross. Glory to God. So first of all, being in Christ, you're a new creature. Second of all, we, by being in Christ, we are more than conquerors through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ that loved us and gave himself for us.
Amen.
That's very powerful. And mm-hmm. when we look at what's going on there, we give God all the praise and honor and glory because it is he and he alone that's able to make the difference in all of our lives. Mm-hmm. Let's look at another verse of scripture, because what we're doing is scripturalizing everything that we are talking about concerning what in Christ means.
Amen.
Many people fail to understand. They say, well, I go to church there. Yeah. And every time the doors are open, I'm there and I fellowship and so forth. But the question is, are you in Christ? That's the most important thing. Are you in Christ? You can be in the building and not be in Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Now, we've used another verse of scripture there concerning, what is it?
1 John 4:4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, Antichrist spirits.
Yes.
Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Praise God. You are of God, little children, and you've overcame them. Because greater is he that is in you. Well, who's on the inside of you? We can be everywhere. Praise God. Doesn't matter where it is. But do you have the greater witness residing on the inside of you? The scripture tells us greater, not just great, but greater is he that is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, praise God. The one that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the Father, sent back the Holy Spirit to take up residence on the inside of us as children of God. Praise God. Greater. Somebody out there in Radio Land should say, greater.
Greater.
Is he that is in us, in me, than he that is in the world. Well, we know who's in the world. The devil is in the world. And the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us because our bodies have become the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. So greater is he that is in you or in me than he that is in the world.
Praise God.
Or perhaps the greater witness resides on the inside of us, according to what the word of God says. I believe it, praise the Lord, than he that is coming up against us.
Amen.
And that's the forces of the devil out there in Radio Land. So the greater witness is on the inside of us as children of God. Praise the Lord. We have that power. Praise God. In 1 John 2 and verse 20, the word of God tells us that we have an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. If you are in Christ, you have an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. And we know all things. This is why we must be in Christ in order to accomplish everything that God has afforded for us to have as a child of God.
Amen.
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 In Christ.
In Christ. Everything is in Christ.
Glory to God.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
In the Anointed One.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Praise his wonderful name.
I know in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Not myself, but in Christ, he strengthens me to do.
Amen. See, when we have Jesus part of the equation, then we have the capacity and the ability to accomplish whatever it is that needed to be done according to the will of God. What does the scripture say? Paul says in Philippians, he said, I can do all things. Many people today, they say, well, yeah, I can do all things. But see, they leave out Jesus. And once you leave out Jesus, it's not going to happen at all. He must be part of the equation. I can do all things. I said all things through him that loves us, through him that strengthens us, through him that gives us the ability to do the will of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
See, through Christ.
It's through Christ.
And that strengthens us.
That strengthens us.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
So what it is that in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. You see, it's all those things that makes it possible for us to accomplish the work that God has called us all to do out there in Radio Land. And
yes,
even behind this microphone here this morning, we must constantly and continually believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Everything is in him. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is why we lift him up. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We give him all the praise, and the honor and the glory. We dare not take any credit for anything because we have no ability or strength to accomplish anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister Glory, you remember in St. John 15 and verse 5, I think somewhere in that vicinity there,
mm-hmm.
Jesus said, well, without me, you can do nothing.
That's what it says. Mm-hmm.
What does nothing mean?
Nothing.
Nothing means not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't able to do anything
right
without the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's amen.
Our dependency is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our strength comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
I want to tell you today out there in Radio Land, if you're trusting in anything or anybody else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you have set yourself up for failure. And perhaps a disaster situation. Jesus. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
He is the one. Glory to God.
He is the one.
And we are in him. When you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, then what happened is that when you receive him, you have everything that you need to walk this Christian journey. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need everything.
Everything.
And you have everything.
Amen.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the equation of the one that is able to meet every need that we have as children of God. Don't depend on man. Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ.
You mentioned victory, Lord Pastor.
Praise
and,
God.
1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God, which give us the victory through whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, that's what it is. Christ has to be in everything that we're doing. Otherwise, he said that without him, you can do nothing. So, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is again, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Isn't that something?
But the Lord wants us to stay steadfast, though.
Yes.
Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you today that it is in Christ where we have the victory. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We thank God for that. I want to just kind of tell you out there in Radio Land that because of who he is, we can face tomorrow because we are in him.
Amen.
Glory to God. He paid it all.
Paid it all.
He's done it all.
He has.
Praise God. Now let's look at another verse of scripture here because we're talking about being in Christ. And first of all, the most important thing is we look at what the word says. Now, in Colossians 2, in verse 9, I want to just let you know for a moment here that the word tells us that in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
I want to say that again. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Praise the
Lord. Three are one. In him lives the fullness of the Godhead body and bodily. And now we've asked him to come into our lives. So that next verse tells us what, Minister Glory?
And you are complete, glory to God, in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
So in him, here's the preposition in, in him. So first of all, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then the 10th verse there, Colossians 2 and verse 10, tells us that we are complete
in him.
In him, in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing lacking by being in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Ooh, I tell you, being in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ, in him we live.
Yes.
And move and have our mere existence or our being. Praise God. In Christ. I tell you, when I wonder why people feel that they can do something outside of Christ and expect victory. No, this thing is not about us. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And everything that he has done for us. It was Jesus that suffered the wrath of God for you. God looked at him on that cross. But let me tell you something. When he was on that cross, I was on his mind.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? When he was on that cross, I was on his mind. Thank God that I've been given the opportunity to look at what he's done. Receive him into my heart.
Yes.
Give him all the praise. Well, you know, Minister Glory, first of all, we talk about exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we look at the word of God, with God is already exalting him.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Philippians 2, let's look at what it says in verse 8 and 9 and thereafter. Praise God, because Jesus has already been exalted. Not just exalted, but he's been highly exalted.
That's right. Amen.
And we are in him.
Right.
Glory to God.
It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him.
Amen.
And given him a name which is above every name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and then things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, that's wonderful.
According to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Praise the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that we are in him.
Yes.
That positionally speaking, we know who we are and that we know whose we are.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And you know who you are, and you know whose you are. You know the victory that's been won for you, and you know who's done it. Praise God. And you know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Praise God.
Praise God.
In him we live and move and have our being.
Amen.
Praise God. What a mighty God that
we serve. Yes, we do.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was on that cross, we were on his mind.
Yes.
He went there to take the wrath of God for us all.
Mm-hmm.
He is our substitute.
Yes.
Can you imagine for a moment, what would it look like for me going to a cross to do what? You can't die for nobody.
No, only Jesus.
It took one that had no sin.
That's right.
To die for the sins of the world. Amen. And I mean him. Praise God.
And that's the whole world.
Yes. Each and every day, I thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for being in you. My faith is in you, not my circumstances or situations that's going on in and around my life. I am in you.
Amen.
And you are in me. And the Father, we are in us all. That's praise right. God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful. Yes.
You know, so let's look at what now, if we are in Christ, what has Christ done for us? Praise God.
He has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
He has redeemed us. Let's look at what does the scripture say here, because we want folks out there in Radio Land to follow us from a scripture standpoint. You can look at what we're talking about. We're not sitting here making up something. We want you to follow what we're saying scripturally. Praise God. Now, Minister Gloria, you said that Christ.
Yes. Galatians 3 and 13.
Glory to God.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
This is why, you see, we want to walk in the things that Christ has done. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse.
Yes.
See, the curse of the law.
Curse of the
law. And we know that the curse of the law was poverty is a curse.
Yes, it is.
I want to tell you, poverty is a curse because the Word of God tells us that he who was rich became poor that we might be made rich. Let me tell you something here. The curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, if you go back and look at that, you see all the curses there, and the curses came upon those that failed to operate, to hearken unto the voice of the Lord. God Almighty, Lord thy God, praise God, and to do that which is right and pleasing in his sight.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ has redeemed. We're redeemed through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it is written, curses is anyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, he hung there on the tree so that I could be blessed.
Amen.
I'm blessed, glory to God.
That's right.
I said, I'm blessed in Christ.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not blessed in my own ability or strength.
Uh-huh.
I'm blessed in Christ,
that's
in
right.
the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been accepted in the Beloved.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right.
You know, you've been accepted.
That's what it says in Ephesians 1 and 3. It says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, ooh, glory, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Glory to God. So the blessings is in Christ.
Amen. In Christ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord Jesus. And look at, we want to go back to Galatians 3 and 13 for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said that he redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Uh-huh.
For it is written, curses anyone that hangeth on the tree.
Yes.
But he said in the next verse that the blessings of Abraham come on the Gentiles by faith. Praise
through
God.
Jesus Christ.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Praise God. So you all out there in Radio Land, if you are in Christ, you are blessed. Don't
Amen.
Let anyone tell you anything different. You are blessed
Amen.
Because you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the blessings are, in Christ.
That's right.
There are folks out there walking around today that are not in Christ. They are out of Christ. They have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. So let me tell you something. They have natural life, but they don't have eternal life. And to have eternal life, you must be in Christ.
Right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You must have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God.
Praise,
hallelujah.
Praise
I
the
tell
Lord.
You, I feel like shouting right now.
Go right ahead.
Because of what? Well, we can't shout. We're trying to teach you. Praise God. So I want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and let him use me in the capacity in which he desires. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, you feel like doing things. But see, it's got nothing to do with the feelings. It's how the moving of the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful.
The moving of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mm-hmm. You know, and by being in Christ, you know, Ephesians 2, glory to God. And in verse 6 there, let's look at that for a moment, Minister Glory, okay. Because what is happening is that mm-hmm. by being in Christ,
yes,
mm-hmm. we've been made to mm-hmm. sit together with him.
That's right.
I want you to read that, glory to God, Ephesians 2, verse 6.
And there. It has raised us up together.
Good God Almighty. Has raised us up together.
And made us sit together.
Wait a minute. Has raised us up together. He didn't ask us.
Mm-hmm.
He made us.
Amen.
It's so important to be in Christ.
Yes, yes.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
He has made us to sit together mm-hmm. in Christ. In heavenly places.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where are you sitting today? Are you in some building or are you sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus?
Glory
now, we're
God.
Speaking from a spiritual standpoint.
Right.
Now, don't get carnal on me because the word of God is clear. Glory to his wonderful name.
Mm-hmm.
And we
mm-hmm.
just want to let you know today, glory to God, our time has slipped away here.
Mm-hmm.
But the word has not slipped.
Nope, has not.
We're out of time, but we're not out of the word.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because Hallelujah. The word is all-powerful.
That's right.
And it's in our heart.
Amen.
I praise God, give him all the glory, and mm-hmm. minister glory with the little few minutes, that, times that we have.
Amen.
I want you to just offer that and extend that plan of salvation, mm-hmm. glory to God, to everybody out there. Mm-hmm. We don't know who's saved out there, who's tuned into the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus know.
Okay. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But whosoever, that's so whosoever, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Glory to God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just tell you in the closing seconds here that you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is to receive Jesus and be in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We pray for you out there in Radio Land, and God bless you all. Unto the next broadcast is our prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.